The name of the exhibit is Where the World Met the Border. And this is the story of the Ellis Island of the US-Mexico border, but it's been a place of migration centuries before. So it shows you 10 different sites that this museum will cover. And each one of these sites, each one of these buildings will tell a different chapter about this uniquely global place, apparently in the middle of nowhere, but that for a long, long time has actually been right in the middle of things. Just like today we hear with the debates about migration. Well, this place, those debates have been going on for a long, long time. They keep repeating themselves.
The inspiration was the fact that this is actually an endangered community right now. A large portion of the First World has already been destroyed. It was destroyed to make room for the convention center in the 1970s. And now there's another considerably large portion that is under threat of demolition because of the arena that the city would like to build.
So the First Ward is El Paso's oldest neighborhood. This is literally where El Paso was born. When the city first had its charter in 1873, the boundaries were set, and on the north, San Francisco Street, on the east, El Paso Street, and then the rest was bordered by the borders were set by the Rio Grande itself.
There's a map over there of early El Paso, the first platted map. All the east-west streets are St. Louis, San Francisco, right? They're the roads that are going to those areas. North-south are Chihuahua, Durango, Santa Fe, right? So we're a crossroads. People have always been coming here, passing through here, trade, commerce, just economic opportunity, and still today. That's why people are here today.
You can see three acequias that were constructed by Ponce de León, Maria Ponce de León, back in 1827, when it was the foundational settlement where El Paso was born, called the Ponce de León Ranch.
People are coming from all over, and they're following trails out here in the 1820s, right? And so they're coming out here and settling, and a lot of times they're men, right? And they're marrying local Fronteriza women, women who grew up in here. The town of El Paso del Norte on the other side of the river, now Ciudad Juarez, it was a bustling community, and so people were coming in from other places in the United States and mixing into this culture. Then you have people coming from overseas, so people from Italy, from Syria. One of the most notable ones is the Chinese community. So they've come to build the railroad. So the first railroad gets here in 1881, it comes from the west and makes it to El Paso, and you have the largest Chinese community in Texas because of that.
There's a very intriguing cartoon from 1904 where people were calling for a wall to keep out illegal immigrants. But the illegal immigrants were not Mexicans, they were Chinese. The first calls for a border fence here in El Paso was in 1904. So already they were calling to build a wall. History repeats itself over and over again.
And so this neighborhood in 1900 is just booming. In 1906, we have the depot that's still there, the Union Depot, that was built by Daniel Burnham. It's still extant. And because of that depot, you have an influx of people coming in by train, and they're all coming through this neighborhood.
Duranguito and the First Ward played a huge role in helping to spark the largest social revolution of the 20th century, the Mexican Revolution. And one of the most famous inhabitants of Duranguito residence was Pancho Villa. Here you see him with his wife. So there is a home, an adobe home, on León Street in Duranguito that right now is in danger of demolition in case this arena gets built by the city, which would be a travesty, because we believe that that should be perhaps a museum to the importance of the history of the Mexican Revolution for the city. It completely altered the demographics of El Paso and the border.
I mean, this is the amazing thing about immigrants coming in, is they are assimilating, like immigrants do, to the local culture. But that culture is neither American or Mexican. It's this this Front Teresa culture, right? And so even today, I think you could say that some of that's left over, that we are, El Paso and Juarez are a bit different than the rest of the country because people are having to adapt to this hybrid culture. I think looking at El Paso's history, looking at how we've managed to coexist and grow as a community here, this is what the rest of the nation should be focusing on.